Thank you, Brady. Let me encourage you to take a Bible and to turn to the text that was read for us just a few moments ago in Hebrews chapter 12. We're going to start with that text, Hebrews chapter 12. It's good to be back with you. We had a good trip last week to preach in Murfreesboro, Tennessee, where my daughter lives. I want to extend greetings to you from the Harringtons. Many of you may remember them from years ago. They worship there at Veterans Parkway, where my daughter worships. Wilson Adams preaches there, and Wilson's going to hold a meeting for us within a few years, so we look forward to that. Also, many of you remember Sean Hafley and his family that worshiped here. His mother worships there at Veterans Parkway. So it was nice to be able to get to visit with them, and they extend their greetings to the brethren here. I want to thank those that covered my responsibilities while I was away. Thank you, Jerry, for covering the lesson last week, and to Trevor for covering the class. And it's good to be back with you, though. Let's start with this text that Jeff read for us just a moment ago, Hebrews 12. Beginning of verse 1, we'll go down to verse 3. Therefore, we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him who endured such hostility from sinners against himself, lest you become discouraged in your souls. Of the many different figures that are often used to describe our faith in Christ and the battle that we face in struggling against sin, striving for faithfulness towards the goal of heaven, the figure of a race is an interesting one that we see occurring from time to time, if not a race, some type of athletics or competition. I'd like for us to think for a few moments this morning about this idea that's expressed in these verses, the race that is set before us. And I'd like us to consider just a few points about this. We should note, first of all, that the text indicates to us that if we're going to run this race in the way that we ought to, there are some things that need to be set aside. The text puts it in this way, every weight. Now, I was never much of an athlete in terms of running. There were some times that I actually wrestled. And I realize it's talking about a little bit of a different thing, but back in those days, you know, you'd try to get your weight down so you could get in a class in which maybe you were big for that class so you could lose that weight. If you're talking about running a race, certainly an athlete doesn't want to have extra weight on their body or extra things on their clothing that will make it harder for them to run. Now, what they may do to exercise and to get ready for that is you've seen them either put those weights on their ankles or things like that to get them strengthened. But when it comes to our race in Christ, we need to recognize that if we're not careful, there are some things that can prove to be a hindrance to us. Go with me over to the book of Luke, in Luke chapter 21. Luke chapter 21, and let's notice the wording there in verses 34 through 36. Jesus says, "But take heed to yourselves, lest your hearts be weighed down with carousing, drunkenness, and cares of this life, and that day come on you unexpectedly. For it will come as a snare on all those who dwell on the face of the earth. Watch therefore and pray always that you may be counted worthy to escape all these things that will come to pass and to stand before the Son of Man." Now notice within those things in verse 34, as it describes what it can be that can drag us down, that can weigh us down, either carousing, that kind of behavior that we ought not to be involved in, drunkenness, when we are allowing ourselves to give ourselves to intoxicants and to things such as that, we're not going to be ready. We're not going to be prepared as we ought to. But notice as well, the cares of this life. How easy it is for us in those things that are wholesome and good, but those things that cause us stress, to let those become a burden to us so that we are not running this race as we ought to. As we think of the Hebrew writer's words here, we need to lay aside every weight, but also we need to lay aside the sin which so easily ensnares us. Go to a familiar text with me, Hebrews chapter 10, a text that we often look to because of a statement that's made before the section I'd like us to look at. Hebrews 10, beginning in verse 26, we will look quite often at the importance that is stressed about our times together and coming together to assemble. But immediately after emphasizing the importance of that, I want you to notice kind of a danger that's set forth if we don't do that. Because one of the great things about our time with one another is it reminds us of what we ought to be doing. It encourages us in that race. You know, one of the difficulties that I had in, when I was younger and I played football was I didn't like to run. And I'll tell you, even though I needed to get up early in the morning and try to run or run late at night, it was hard for me to do by myself. If you could ever get someone, though, that was participating with you in that exercise, it was a whole lot easier. You could encourage one another. You'd be a little bit intimidated that, you know, if you got tired and wanted to stop, you'd keep going because it would kind of push you on. Well, similar things, I think, are a part of our interaction with one another. And I want you to notice that after, in verse 25, talking about that need to come together, a consequence if we don't, I think, is set forth. Verse 26, "For if we sin willfully after we have received the knowledge of the truth, there no longer remains a sacrifice for sins, but a certain fearful expectation of judgment and fiery indignation which will devour the adversaries. Anyone who has rejected Moses' law dies without mercy on the testimony of two or three witnesses. Of how much worse punishment do you suppose will be thought worthy who has trampled the Son of God underfoot, counted the blood of the covenant by which he was sanctified a common thing, and insulted the Spirit of grace? For we know him who said, 'Vengeance is mine, I will repay,' says the Lord. And again, 'The Lord will judge his people.' It is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God." Now, I recognize in the context of Hebrews, he is urging his readers to recognize the greatness that we have in the sacrifice of Jesus Christ, and not to turn back to those things that were elements of Mosaic law. And in so doing, it would be that there would be no sacrifice left for sin. But I think there is also to be found here the general warning that we don't turn back to sin. As the Hebrew writer will say in our text that we began with in chapter 12, we need to lay aside every weight and lay aside the sin which so easily ensnares us. And as we notice further, the subject of endurance is also emphasized in this race that we are to run. You've got to keep going. You can't stop. You can't expect to reach the end of your goal. You can't expect to cross the finish line if you don't have the endurance that's necessary. It is interesting how often in the New Testament this is pointed out. Our Lord will teach us some things about endurance. If you go to Matthew chapter 10, when he talks to his 12 about what they are going to face as they must go out and they must stand up for the cause of Christ, it is interesting what he tells them in Matthew chapter 10 and in verse 22. He says, "And you will be hated by all for my name's sake, but he who endures to the end will be saved." Have you ever noticed that sometimes as Christians, we don't say it necessarily. We don't say that we expect a life that is without trouble and without any difficulty. But when, in fact, we face difficulty, why is it that so often people will lose faith? They somehow seem to imagine that, well, we're not going to be hated. It's not going to be a trial. It's not going to be difficult. And then when we face those things, we don't have the endurance that we need. In the context of his words here to the 12, I think it's important for us to recognize if we're prepared for those things, we can do, as he says at the end of the verse, endure to the end and attain salvation. The Hebrew writer that we're looking at in Hebrews chapter 12, if you go back to Hebrews chapter 6, will speak further about this idea of endurance. And not necessarily there in the context of the figure of a race, but let's notice in Hebrews chapter 6, verses 11 through 15, what he tells us there. Hebrews chapter 6, beginning of verse 11. "And we desire that each one of you show the same diligence to the full assurance of hope until the end, that you do not become sluggish, but imitate those who," notice this, "through faith and patience inherit the promises." Continuing, verse 13.
For when God made a promise to Abraham, because he could not swear by, because he could swear by no one greater, he swore by himself, saying, "Surely blessing I will bless you, and multiplying I will multiply you." And so after he had patiently endured, he obtained the promise. We need to learn from the lessons of those that are recorded, whose lives are recorded in Scripture. Because it was never something easy for them. There were trials that they had to endure. There were difficulties they had to face. Yes, their generation faced things different than ours. I think we need to recognize that in many cases, if not most cases, the trials they faced were much greater than the trials we face. That's important for us to understand. We need to have a historical perspective on things. As we turn on the news and we look at difficulties and we look at extremes and how hard things are or how extreme things have become in terms of people's views of what's right and wrong, it's always been that way. In fact, when the gospel was born, it was born into a world in which much of the world was given to pagan thought and pagan religion and pagan morality. And it is only as a result of the teaching of the gospel that that's changed a little bit. Maybe it's reversing some in our sphere of the world, but recognize endurance is needed. We, like Abraham, need to endure patiently. But Paul also would talk about endurance in a great passage. If you go to Romans chapter 2, if you remember the context of the book of Romans, in chapter 1, Paul has pointed out how the world is given to sin. In chapter 2, he's going to emphasize that even those that were of Israel were given to sin. And then in chapter 3, he will summarize that to show that all are under sin, leading people to recognize what he had asserted in the very beginning of Romans chapter 1, the power of the gospel to overcome sin. And I want you to notice a few verses in chapter 2. Romans chapter 2, beginning in verse 5, and go down with me to verse 10. Paul writes, "But in accordance with your hardness and your impenitent heart, you are treasuring up for yourself wrath in the day of wrath and revelation of the righteous judgment of God, who will render to each one according to his deeds." Now stop there for a moment. As we think about why is it that you and I, having put our faith in Jesus, need to continue in that race. We need to have endurance. Don't stop. Don't get tired and sit on the sidelines and watch others in the race. Instead, why is it that we need to keep going? Because notice what we just read in this passage. God is going to render to each one according to his deeds. But he doesn't stop there. Notice verse 7. Eternal life to whom? Notice, eternal life to those who by patient continuance in doing good seek for glory, honor, and immortality. But to those who are self-seeking and do not obey the truth, but obey unrighteousness, indignation, and wrath, tribulation and anguish on every soul of man who does evil, of the Jew first and also of the Greek, but glory, honor, and peace to everyone who works what is good, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. You know, those that are very gifted at being able to run great distances. I've gotten to know Mark Mayberry, that's the editor of Truth Magazine, quite well. And Mark gets up every day and runs 4 or 5 miles. I don't know how in the world he does it. You know, what happens to me if I begin to run is my mind starts thinking about all of the pains of my body or how tired my body is. And pretty soon it's just easy to just want to stop. But I think those that are very gifted at that have some way to direct their thoughts away from what their body's feeling. They're thinking perhaps about responsibilities they have, or they're thinking about something that really occupies their mind. You know, those that now living in an age in which we can put on a MP3 and listen to music or listen to some lecture or listen to Bible readings or something like that. It is much easier for the one to focus their mind on something other than the pains of their flesh. In this race of faith, is there some similarity to that? You know, if we, as we are running our daily race of faith, just allow ourselves to begin to think about, you know, this is so hard. You know, look at all that I'm having to sacrifice. Look at what I'm having to give up. We're going to be like I was as I was trying to run, and I'm thinking about how hard it is to breathe, or I'm thinking about how my legs are getting tired. But instead, I need to think about other things. Maybe think about that goal that lies ahead of us. Or maybe think about ways in which we can serve the Lord in other ways. Maybe if we think about the ways in which we can help others. Or even think about, you know, it may be hard for me, but what about this brother or that sister that's really having some difficulty? Those kinds of things will help us to have the endurance that we must have. But finally, I want us to note that in our reading in Hebrews chapter 12, it ends by talking about the focus that we need to have. I think another element of those who are very gifted at being able to run great distances and just have that endurance they need is they have great focus on the goal. They know it's not time to stop yet. There's something that is set before them. And as we think about this race of life, I think there are a few things that we might think of that are set before us. Certainly heaven is set before us. But the Hebrew writer here will talk about that sense in which as we are running the race, we think about the one that has run that race before us. Looking to Jesus, verse 2 will tell us. Go to Colossians chapter 3 with me for a moment. Colossians chapter 3. As we were considering a moment ago, this idea of what are you directing your thoughts towards? What are you focusing your mind on? If you allow yourself to get distracted by the things of this life, be they good or be they bad, you're going to have difficulty with endurance. But if you focus on things that are beyond this life, it can help. Colossians chapter 3, beginning in verse 1. If then you were raised with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ is, sitting at the right hand of God. Notice this, verse 2. Set your mind on things above, not on the things of earth. Now, is this saying that Christians ought to live their lives just kind of a little spaced out, just never really thinking about anything and out of touch with reality? No. I think instead what it is saying is the best way in which children of God can deal with the realities of life is by continuing to look unto Jesus. Set your mind on things above. Go over to Hebrews chapter 6. Hebrews chapter 6. And let's notice in Hebrews chapter 6, verses 19 and 20. We did a study in an adult class a year or so ago looking at this very idea in verse 19. Of hope and the great power and stabilizing force that it offers to us. Let's read together Hebrews 6, beginning in verse 19. This hope we have as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, which enters the presence behind the veil. And think about the way it is described here. Where the forerunner has entered for us, even Jesus, having become high priest forever, according to the order of Melchizedek. Now, this only perhaps relates indirectly to the point that we're trying to consider here in Hebrews chapter 12. But I like the wording that is used there in verse 20, that Christ is our forerunner. Here it is describing that sense of which He entered the holiest place of God on our behalf. He entered that before us. I think we can also gain great encouragement from the fact that He fought this same battle. He ran this same race and He endured. You know, one thing in any activity that you're involved in, if it's hard to do or you don't know how to do it, if you can talk to somebody that's been through that, if you can talk to somebody that knows how to fix that car or how to fix that computer, somehow it makes it easier, doesn't it? Because you can look to what they did. The same is true in this race of life. As we look not to ourselves, but we look to Jesus, we can consider what He went through. Consider how He made it. Consider how He endured. And that can spur us on. One last text. 2 Peter chapter 3. 2 Peter chapter 3. And let's read together in 2 Peter chapter 3, verses 14 and 15. Therefore, beloved, looking forward to these things, be diligent to be found in him in peace, without spot and blameless. And notice the wording at the beginning of verse 15 here. And consider that the long-suffering of our Lord is salvation, as also our beloved brother Paul, according to the wisdom given to him, has written to you. Now, I think in the context, the long-suffering that is being described, it relates back to what's just been mentioned in the previous verses about the time in which there will be an end. There will be a time in which the Lord will call things into judgment, and he will bring an end to this universe. And the fact that that has not happened doesn't mean that he is slack in his promise. Instead, he's long-suffering towards us. But you know, the long-suffering of the Lord has been demonstrated in many ways in Jesus and the history that we know of him. Not only is it demonstrated in his patience, looking at a sinful world and yet not just instantly destroying every rebel that rejects his will, but his long-suffering was also demonstrated in his life that he lived and in coming to this world, bearing with those that were his very creation, that refused to honor him and refused to obey him. But you know, that serves as an example to us. Because when we get a little down and we feel like things are hard and we're not sure how we can run another step, if we look to Jesus and we consider the long suffering of Jesus, and that as Jesus endured those things in life, as Jesus made it through those things in life, it spurs us on to strive to do the same. If you're here this morning, you've never been obedient to the gospel of Jesus Christ. You are not yet in this race that we are describing, and the Hebrew writer urges us to continue in. But I would suggest to you that this is a race that must be run. It is a race worth running, because our souls are at stake. And if we sit back on the sidelines and we refuse to engage in this race, it's not that we can just imagine that all will go well with us. Instead, we must recognize that if we do not enter into this race of faith by putting our faith in Jesus as the Son of God, confessing that faith before men, repenting of sin that separates us from God, and being baptized into Christ, there is no goal, there is no heavenly hope that lies before us. Instead, as we read in Romans chapter 2, you remember, there is an alternative path for those that don't continue in patience in continuing to do good. Indignation and wrath awaits those that refuse to enter into this race of faith. If you've never done that, would you not this morning put your faith in Jesus as the Son of God? We invite you to come while we stand and sing.